The following programming is sponsored by Polish American Radio. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Peasley Media Group.
Power is on earth for 15 to 20 million
generations.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting here on 860 AM Radio. And as you know, we serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware on the radio signal itself. However, people from all over the USA can tune in simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. And by the way, our broadcasts are up all week, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so you can always tune in. Check us out. We always welcome your comments and suggestions. Send them to Michael at AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And if you can, send a text to family and friends, because I have to tell you, with all the radio people getting involved, putting on my commentaries during their public service time, it gives them an opportunity to promote American-made efforts during their broadcasts. And that it's coming from a third party is all the better. And of course, the newspapers are printing a lot of our commentaries, and you can go right on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and there is this week's commentary. Click on that link, and you can just email it to family members, friends, and also to newspapers and your radio stations, because that's how they give it as community news and community development. You know, we've been doing this for quite a while, and our success rate has been pretty interesting. We've had many very special events, community events. This past weekend, we had a huge event. The Pulaski Day Parade was in Philadelphia, followed by the great celebration afterwards there at the Associated Polish Home. Everything just worked out so beautiful with the weather. And, you know, I know that weather situations are not the same in other parts of the country today, but this is part of Mother Nature. And no matter what anyone says, Mother Nature controls Mother Nature. And we've seen major storms like this for hundreds of years, and in the recorded history of major storms like this, they tell us that they've had major storms in Florida and other places 112 years ago, 135 years ago. So it's very interesting. And of course, we want the storm to move fast so that no one gets into any kind of aggravation and nothing more is ruined. We had a pretty rough hurricane last week, but this is part of Mother Nature. I want to take this opportunity to say a special thank you to Larkin Conley, who is a business advocate and a SCORE mentor, to Bruce Bassett Powell, who is an associate director for SCORE, and also to Mark Andel, who is the founder of the Made in America store. And Mark, I have to tell you, some of our people from the Philadelphia, New Jersey, and even Delaware tell me that they've been to your store over there and they've met you personally. They say, oh yeah, I remember meeting Mark. They took all kind of bus trips to the New York side of the falls. They, you know, and they stopped at your store, heard about it on our broadcast. So I hope that some people have told you they visited your store, or how did they get there? I'm not sure. Did they drive up on the way to the falls? It was just good to hear how people hear good things that are being done through our efforts and with all of you guys that we're able to promote. And thanks again for tuning in and helping spread that good news. That's really what it's all about. It takes everybody working together as one team. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we are now just weeks away from a major election in the United States of America, and I'm really urging everyone to vote so that we know exactly where the American people stand. We're listening to so many things in the news media, so many ads coming up on the television and cable everywhere. It's just every, no matter, you can't escape them. But I'm only impressed, as I say so often, with the ads that tell me what is a person really going to do their job. If we're voting for you, we're hiring you. Remember, a president is not for free. Whether it's they're paid $1 or $1 million, a president is paid to do a job upon his or her election. And for over 150 years, we've been promoting this in a big way in the United States. In fact, I would say for 248 years, when we declared independence in America, we've been promoting the fact that we want things made in America. We want America to stand tall because it is such an outstanding country. And yet, our politicians have let us down. Instead of us having 90% of what is sold in America, made in America, as was the tradition when they had the bicentennial year, that was back in 1976, and people who lived near any waterway can tell you that the ships were loading up constantly and taking the American-made stuff all around the world. And it was sometime afterwards that merchandisers from foreign countries, leaders from foreign countries, started meeting with our business people in America, and that's why we have what we have today. The big complaint that I get from most people is that we send people to city, state, and federal government places to look out for the well-being of the American people. But just sitting back and saying nothing and doing nothing, as they saw businesses leaving, jobs leaving, welfare expanding, poverty growing and growing, and did nothing. Don't even discuss it. Hard to find records where they called any sort of an emergency gathering of elected people in Washington to discuss how can we have gone from 70s to being a 90% made in America, most of what was sold in America, to where we are now, about 35% to 30%. That's not a very good statistic. How did it happen? Number one, poor leadership. And poor leadership means the people who were elected by us to go to Washington, go to the state capitals, go to local places where they are able to look out for the people. If a road is broke, if a road has a lot of potholes, you send someone out to fix it so that the cars don't get continuously, you know, hurt by flat tires. And yet in America, for 40 years, mainly in the last 35 years, people just let it go because they keep saying we're a free market economy and our people can do whatever they want. Well, that's very true. But a free market economy also has to make sure that the business people in America are able to stay, able to be here in the United States without being taxed to death. You know, November, which we started some time ago, is American-made month. Now, some people tell me, you know, Michael, that could be controversial, American-made month. I say, why? They say, because so much is not made in America, and you're bringing attention to the fact that it's not made in America. I said, yes, but we're only saluting all the companies that make things in America, no matter what it is. We're grateful to them. Well, that's a controversial statement. I don't believe it because the entire business community can highlight what they make. I'm going to turn first to Mark Andel. Mark, how can you help us promote November as Made in America Month? And what are the people having to say to you about the election? Is everybody getting ready to vote? I can't tell them how to vote. I would not do that. I want to see the biggest majority of people we've ever had go out and vote. Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store, and you can check out his link right there on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. He's also on our internet sites, all of our organizational internet sites. Just click on, and Mark will have those items shipped to you. Tell us everything, Mark.
Yeah, how you doing, Mike? Thanks for having the show, having me on. Hopefully Larkin's on, and Bruce and Henry, hope you're all doing well. So a lot going on. First, Mike, I want to say, you know, God bless the people that are in the past hurricane areas, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, Florida. And then with the Milton coming on, Florida, I know a lot of people there. Larkin, I hope you're safe. A lot of people evacuated that I know on that East Coast. You know, these hurricanes are big and dangerous. We get our snowstorms, but God bless you guys with the hurricanes. I hope everybody's safe. You know, and I can't say enough, a long time ago, Larkin, you always said you want government for national security and help with disasters. So I hope and pray our government is doing the right things. And, you know, we got so much military and National Guard here and so much equipment, even in Asheville, North Carolina. I just feel we could really jump on it, train the guys down there, let them go help, send everybody we got to help our Americans. So, you know, I'm watching that closely. I wake up with them thoughts, Mike, so I like to bring that up first. You know, our buses are coming in, Mike, and I bring that up because we broke records this year with buses. 206 buses we're at now, 10 to 20 a week. You know, they just came from Louisiana, Kentucky, yesterday Texas, all over the country, Minnesota, you name it, they're coming in, and they're telling each other, Made in America is strong. Dorothy does an excellent job, my Dorothy here, and does all the shows, but it's word of mouth now, and they really love what we're doing. And the buses, I love when the people get off, because it absolutely is not what you hear on the news, and it's just so clear, and that scares me. You know, I met a guy that worked in news, and, you know, what they would see, the live footage of things going on overseas and what they send us, it's just not the same, and he lost his trust at that point. He was heavily involved with, you know, behind the scenes, and that scares me. As we know, I can break that down. I always turn the TV on and ask what they're selling tonight. But off the buses don't lie, any shape, so, you know, color, white, black, you know, Indian, it doesn't matter. They're upset. The people coming from North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida bus we just had, they want more help. They basically say, don't come for my vote, you know, and then don't help us. So I hope they're getting all the help as soon as they can, no matter what level of life they are, because all lives matter at that point. So, Mike, that's just something. The buses are so honest and true. I love shaking all their hands. You know, we're meeting hundreds and hundreds of people. I've shaken thousands of hands from around the country, and I don't know who else does that, but we get customers delivered to us. I can tell by their handshake if they're a farmer, what they're wearing, their clothes, the way they talk. But lately, they've been a little upset, and I never go R or D. I stay out of the politics with my Made in America store and, you know, welcoming buses, because I don't have the money not to. Mike, you know, you can't shut off half the country, and, you know, depending on what their thoughts are. But what I'm hearing, you know, is they want help. They want a different America. They do not like what's going on now. So I want to say that, because that's honest truth. They're just not happy, and go record for record with Trump and Harris, and, you know, that's all I would stick with. But, you know, a lot going on with Made in America. Made in America is very strong, and not only from the buses, from our websites. Made in America, people get it. I tell people I'm on a board of about 4 to 5 schools trying to get metal shops, wood shops back in schools. Kids need a purpose. You know, our skilled trade workers, we need them. And they're making the money of doctors already. And parents made such a mistake, Mike. So we're talking about building things here and how it helps, gives people a purpose, gives people a livelihood. They can earn their own living, help our America first, get healthy at home first, and then go, you know, help everybody around the world like we always have. A lot of my buses, Mike, go across to Canada, to Cedar Falls from the Canada side. Canadian side's a little better view, a little more happening than the American side. But when they go over, they get stopped. They get asked who they are. They got to walk off the bus. It's such common sense. And, you know, they bring that up to me. Why do, when we go to Canada, we get stopped and checked, but they're letting all the illegals come in down at the southern border. So a lot of good talk, a lot of good discussion. We stay positive, but we don't know where common sense went. You know, we know that we're like a snow globe that's been flipped upside down in this crazy world right now, Mike.
You are so right, Mark. I have to tell you, being, you know, where we are in historic Philadelphia, talking with tourists, they say, you know, my family came here 45 years ago. If you only knew what they had to do to become part of the American way of life and legalized and everything else, what's going on now is an absolute insult to the American people who've done it the correct way. And I try to stay out of the R&D stuff as myself. And I say, yes, well, we'll see what the people vote on when they vote this season. And most people tell me they are going to vote. Some people have said that they got their ballots. They're going to do it. And I said, well, you cheer me up, because when I hear it's only 60 or 65% of the people that voted, I get concerned about that, because I said, it would be nice if we could have the European style, 90% of the people vote. You have 90%. 90% is a lot better than 60. 60 cents in your pocket's one thing, 90 cents in your pocket's another. But Mark, you've done so much, and I'm going to ask you once again to be an ambassador of November American Made Month. I'm going to do my best to promote that again. And then, of course, in December, we're going to push all of our small businesses for National Small Business Month. It's, you know, we have to do this. A lot of people are doing all kind of banking online. They're doing purchasing online. But we have to also help our small businesses stay afloat. So when people tell me I'm doing so much online, I said, well, maybe one day make a list and go shopping. You know, it's good exercise. You'll see what's going on. You'll see the various products right before your eyes. So people, I have a lot of conversations which make common sense, and the people like it. That's the thing. People like it. And people tell me also that they're disappointed with what is on the television on a regular basis, talking down to everybody and everything. And that's not what we were founded as an independent America 248 years ago here in the great city of Philadelphia. So, you know, I enjoy talking to people. I get a lot of ideas from them. I give our cards out to people and get new people to tune in. And some of the people tell me, guys, that they remember the days in New York, in Wilmington, Delaware, where the boats came in unbelievable amounts, took the shipping containers filled with American-made products and shipped them around the world. That was only in the 70s and 80s. And now those ports are mainly bringing stuff in. In fact, somebody was telling me that their dad worked on the train tracks, making sure they were always perfect, because they would take a lot of the stuff from the ships and take them up into different parts of Pennsylvania or over the bridge, wherever they were going on long distances. And I said, yeah, that's interesting, because in America, our ports are in Virginia area and you know, all those kinds of places, New York. And so we have a lot of those things, but the train system was also very important at the time. And I enjoy talking to people because they say, my family worked for this railroad and that railroad, and they brought the stuff right from the ships to the warehouses where they were distributed. We had virtually no unemployment in our area, and schools operated. And we're not talking about 100 years ago, 75 years ago, or 60 years ago. We're talking about 40 years ago. So what happened during that time? How about we ask Larkin? Larkin, you've seen from your times in Pittsburgh and your time in Philadelphia and your time in Florida, what do you think is could be done to change the clock and move it going in the right direction?
Well, Michael, that's a difficult question to answer. Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Bruce. Good morning, Henry. And Michael, good morning to you. I am sitting in a bad place right now.
I thought about you this morning.
Yeah, I am at home. being a buffoon and trying to ride it out. But we'll certainly find out soon if that whole thing is going to work.
Larkin,
work
how far it. Are you from where they're talking about these huge wind forces coming in?
I'm on the northern tip of the cone.
Oh, and is that how far are they saying? 5 miles, 10 miles, 15 miles from where you are now?
Well, you can see the length and the breadth of the storm. It's a very, very large storm. And, you know, my wife and I sat up and thought about it, talked about it. Where could we go? Well, we were going to go down to her sister's house in DeLand. But the storm shifted south and went right over DeLand, or it's projected to go right over DeLand. There's no sense trying to go north because my wife took her sister to the airport yesterday, and it took two hours for a ride that should take 50 minutes.
Yeah.
And all of... 95 was just so I'm here. I've got my rosary beads hanging off my microphone, and I'm just hoping that that it all works out. One of the things that I think Mark and you, Michael, both were speaking about this morning is change, and good or bad. We're continuously changing, and you can't stop change because people change opinions. People see things that make them think differently, and you just can't stop it. That's where we are now. We have a politician who is running for president who is going to call for change no matter what. That's what he's a change agent, so to speak. And I don't want to get political either. So I'll forego any other comments. But that's the answer. Is everything changes from day to day, from month to month, from year to year. And we just have to be prepared. All these changes were good back in the 50s and 60s and 70s because we were getting bigger, better, stronger. Technology was making a lot of difference. We're now at the end of the technology picture, and all we have left to talk about is the development of AI, which happens to be the most deadly piece of
you're right
technology. Yeah, it's just it's very bad. And so the question is, how do we handle change? And it's a very simple. We make sure that the change is an advantage to everybody, and everybody gets a shot at it. But that's not seemingly how it's working today. Unfortunately, they're at each other's throats, and I don't know if that's ever going to change until one of these politicians disappears. So,
well, I'm whatever the people decide, we will move forward. We will move forward because that's what we have to do. But there's also something I learned from talking to people, and people learned from talking to me, is I think, Larkin, and I think you know as well as I do, that because the American people did not stand up more for who they are and should be over the last 35 years, we are in the situation where we are, where big government people just did whatever they wanted to do. A lot of these things should have been posted on the election ballot. Do we want this? Do we want that kind of change? do we want disagreement or do we not want disagreement, especially in non-emergency situations. I am totally against another presidential order that would happen to be something like we had with this gas situation. The gas situation has hurt every person in the United States, whether they're born an hour ago or they just passed away 15 minutes ago. It's hurt them because energy runs everything. And yet in 3.5 years, there has been really no leader to speak up. They kept talking about where we're going to plug in, we're going to do this and that. None of that happened in 3.5 years. And here we are at the doorstep of another election, and no one is really bringing attention to the fact that we have to do something to bring energy independence back to America. Do you agree with that, Larkin?
Yeah, I certainly do. Unfortunately, and Mark is the one that gets a chance to see this all the time. Unfortunately, patriotism has turned into an ugly word, and people aren't very patriotic. Now, I know there are patriotic people out there, but, you know, when we got involved in the Second World War, my father didn't go, you know what, I don't agree with that damn war. I'm not going over there and fight. No, he put on a uniform and he went and fought for the United States of America. And that's missing now. We've turned into a very, very selfish government.
You know, Larkin, I have to tell you this. You're going to like this. Over this past weekend, we had some major events in Philadelphia. And in conversation with people, they said, Michael, tell me if the election goes this way, what are you going to do? And if the election goes this way? And I said, well, if the election goes one way or the other, I'm going to try to rally our panel and all of our supporters to keep moving in the proper direction. Moving in the proper direction to keep jobs and job skills, training programs in our schools, to make sure our small businesses are able to stay in business. You know, there's nothing, Larkin, more discouraging than driving down streets that were full of life 3 and 4 years ago. Maybe some had problems during the pandemic, during that serious time when they closed a lot of the businesses and they weren't able to be restored so easily. Well, we are in a situation now that we have to bring back those neighborhoods, those shopping areas, get people back on the streets. Otherwise, we're losing our base of economy. Economy is based upon people going out into stores. When they go shopping, they'll go to a restaurant. They do different things. And this is when you're doing strictly online, it takes all of that away. And I'm very glad that this person who was speaking about American Made Month and National Small Business Month brought this to my attention on Saturday. I thought, that's very interesting. They said, Michael, please don't give up on these things no matter how the election turns out. Then a young lady says to me, which I like this, she said, Michael, Larkin is an artist, a bull artist, and Marcus could sell anything to anybody, and Bruce, you know, has a background. Get after those people to start saying, we got to support American first. You know what? You said the right thing a few minutes ago, Larkin. Nobody is talking about being a patriot. You know, when the people come to visit historic Philadelphia from foreign countries, that's the first thing you notice about them. They're so proud of their country. They're coming to America to visit to see what we're all about, but they're mainly proud of the country that they came from to visit America. And I don't know if we went to foreign countries where our people are, walking around, would we find that level of patriotism? What do you think, Larkin?
Well, you know, I've just had the experience with too many people. My son, who I love dearly, my youngest son, has moved to England. And I'll be doing the show from England the first 2 weeks of November. But he's over there, and he constantly calls me and kind of throws in my face the problems that we have. And, you know, he's relatively fair about it. But, you know, he said, if the election doesn't end, I'll be there during the election, so I'll do a write-in vote. He said, if you don't like the results of the election, I've got room in my house for you.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. I hear it all the time.
Yeah.
I hear it. Yep.
And everybody's got their hand out. Everybody wants something for free. Nobody is loyal to the flag. Nobody is loyal to democracy. They don't care about democracy. All they want is their share.
That's right.
And then somebody tells them, well, you're going to get your share, and you're not going to have to pay a penny for it, but you got to vote for this person who's a socialist or whatever. I mean, it's we're in a very, very bad time. And if it doesn't change pretty quickly, we're going to have nothing but problems.
Nothing but problems. I agree. You know, when people tell me that come over here that are 55 and 60 years old, that tell me, you know, Michael, when I was a kid and we would go shopping, we would find a lot of products that were made in the United States. The New Yorker, they remember the names and tell me where the products were from. Today, it's hard to find. It's all made in that other country or the surrounding areas that they deal with. And that's unfortunate, because that shows us, that tells us that our leaders, we should have had elected leaders and business leaders, never stop talking about what we do to preserve businesses, jobs, and futures in the United States of America. They did not do that. And it's too late to start it for this election. But after this election, it's time for everybody to put down their swords and start loving again. Start loving our country, number one. Start loving our people. And start loving the idea of a future for the people of the United States of America. Let me ask Bruce. Now, I know Bruce came from England. Bruce, in your years in America, how have you seen things change in our great country?
Oh, tremendously. I mean, I came here in 1974, and within a couple of months of being here, I watched on television as the president, then Nixon, resigned, and I thought that was an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And, you know, life goes on. I live a pretty good life in this country, and I'm not a citizen yet, but so I can't vote. But it's changed quite a lot. And
Bruce, if you were to advise the new president, whoever that be, about bringing jobs back to America, how would you approach the issue?
Well, I would be a Secretary of State if I knew exactly how it worked.
Okay, we'll make you the Secretary of State. Secretary of State Bruce Bassett Powell.
Right. So I think that companies have got to be encouraged to make their products here in the US. I mean, I one of the things I have experienced, I lived in North Carolina a few years after I arrived in the US, and I was selling packaging, and I remember all the fiber companies, Celanese and that, I used to sell boxes to them all the time, and you know, they've all disappeared completely. And all the fabric now comes in from China or where it is. And, you know, when I was a boy in England, I was proud to buy things that had the words "Made in England" on them, which is, you know, and the same as saying having words "Made in USA" on. And Mark knows all about that, but it's. I think you've got to encourage companies to manufacture stuff in the United States. And it's not going to be easy because, you know, one of the reasons that companies like Celanese went out of business is because people weren't going to buy $120 T-shirts when they could buy $19.95 T-shirts coming from China, and that's going to be difficult to stop that. I think we've got to have very strong free trade associations so that the goods that come in are complemented by people taking goods from us, and I guess it works better in Europe than it does, obviously, with China. But we do export a lot of stuff to China, and I guess, you know, they import stuff here.
What's happening, Bruce, what you said is very true. And people were very proud to pick up products that were made in the United States for years and years. And now they tell me, Michael, I look for American made, and I'm so happy when I can find it. But it's difficult to find. But you know, Bruce, as we were discussing earlier, America's leaders screwed us to the point where we are today, to be quite blunt about it. And I'll tell you why. If they saw that the rules and regulations and taxes on businesses were hurting our businesses to the point that foreign merchandisers were able to come over here and sell you, Bruce Bassett Powell, you, Mark Andel, you, Henry Chaplinsky, you know, you, Larkin Conley, you know, an easier way out to have it made, why didn't our American political leaders elected and paid to do a job? They hate when I say that. Oh, they, you know, they hate when I say they're paid. They are P-A-I-D to do a job. Why didn't they get businesses together, every business association possible, to say, what are we going to do to keep these manufacturing companies in the United States? And people say, well, you're only referring to manufacturing. I said, yes, manufacturing is a big deal. However, you realize with every manufacturing institution, you have someone who's the manager, someone who's the bookkeeper, someone who does the sales, someone who does the packaging, someone who does the deliveries. There are many jobs. Right now, the stuff is coming on containers, and now the way they have it coming from overseas, it's already packed from the container to destination. So we don't have any of the in-between men. Larkin, you may remember when the people at the ports would open the containers and distribute the various packages to here and there. Now it's sent to one particular facility, whether it's in north, south, east, or west, and that is to be distributed to those local stores that made those purchases or manufacturers, whatever. It's just taking away, yet no one has said, did we overregulate? and overtax the businesses. No one says it. I'm still waiting. I say that to people in Congress. They say, Michael, we need the tax dollars. So I said, you need the tax dollars enough that you would screw the American businesses out of business? Well, they're not coming around the way they used to. I said, well, that's absolutely right. Why should they? If I was going to go and buy T-shirts, Bruce, I would look for the cheapest way too. My question is, don't we have distributors here in the United States who could go around and say, we'll make that product at an equal price if you buy from us and take a, you know, so much and this and that. There, it can be done. It can be done.
Employees would not like to have the wages that they have in China, which is
no, it's not. Bruce, here is the biggest fallacy of that argument. By the time that shirt comes to the United States, a person in China or other places working for $1.10 an hour, they don't make just one shirt. They're on an assembly line. By the time those prices come to America, the shirt is sold to you at $19, $20. The big money is made in between by the merchandisers. Yeah. The merchandisers make 70-80% of the money in most cases. I get the people who tell me right at the table here. That's what the way it's done. It's getting those merchandisers to talk turkey with the American public.
But there are companies, all the big box companies, they work directly with China. And you're right, they price it so that it's very advantageous to them. So I spent a lot of my time when I had my business trying to sell my product in big box headquarters in Atlanta and in Arkansas. You know where that is. They beat you to death. And the containers still keep coming in.
Yep. But yeah, so they're not going out filled with the products made in our cities and states as they did 35 years ago. That's my point. Mark, I want to ask you a question. If I went to your area stores 35 years ago, 25 years ago, what percentage of the products would be more directed to Made in America?
Yeah, you know, 25 years ago, we're just at the turn of the century again. You know, you go back in the 80s, I think you're going to be 70-80%. My father worked at Bethlehem Steel and a UAW worker at Ford. He worked both jobs at the same time. But Bethlehem Steel in the day, they'd flip a semi over that was filled with, if you brought foreign goods in, they just would. They believe so. You know, like you said, patriotic. You know, my favorite shirt, Mike, our top shirt on the bus we show is, Made in America store because China's a long drive to work. And I said, it's still 7,000 miles, guys. It never changed. And we get a cheer out of it. And my other shirt I'm wearing today is Buy American. It's common sense. And our newest shirt is Never Apologize for Being American. When you talk about patriotism, Lark, and I wanted to touch on that, Toby Keith was one of my favorites. And, God bless him. You know, he had a tough cancer. But he always ended every show with never apologize for being patriotic. And I think that's a lot to be said. You know, Bruce, you're honest. You come from England. You love your home, too, but you're in the United States, and you appreciate that, too. And, you know, I like that we all of us can talk on the radio show. But we, you know, at the end of the day, America's been good to us. And I think it's okay, you know, to show your colors. If Henry likes the Eagles and I like the Bills, I like the Bills until this past Sunday. But I, no, I'm just kidding. But you know, if you like your country, you support the country you live in. 50-50 fair trade, we've always been about. But these, you know, the buses, and I hate to keep bringing them up, but I've been with hundreds of people a week now, 20 buses a week, even Saturday, Sunday, we come in at crazy hours. But they miss Made in America. They appreciate us. Thank you for having a store. They cry to me. And I'm not saying it's not about me. I'm just saying that I see it. I see the passion and love for America, and they don't know what happened. You know, why are we the only 100% Made in America store in the world? I never knew that 14 years ago. Why are there buses coming to see what Americans are making? You can't go to the store and see. That's why. You know,
Very interesting. Isn't it an interesting market? I hear it from the tourists, and I hear it on special events and picnics and stuff like that. People are very concerned, and a lot of people are, quite frankly, are afraid to speak up because they don't know who exactly they're speaking to. Is this person for the right, the left? I mean, I'm so confused. I even mentioned something to Henry yesterday about this and that. You know, are you for, Michael, are you for the left or are you for the right? You know, I try to really change the discussion because I say, I want to be for America. My family and their families came from foreign countries and made a wonderful life here in the United States of America. They did not come here uninvited by businesses. They did not come here through some southern wall, which should have never been allowed to happen. Rules are rules. The rules of, with the southern wall, the northern end, or coming over through Ellis Island, Philadelphia, Baltimore, any. The rules have not changed one word. The rules are you enter America with a permit. These people coming over have no permit, and yet we are permitting them to get on buses, planes, and be shipped all around the world, in America's world, in the United States of America. We're allowing them to be shipped all over America, and no one is saying, hey, what's happening to the people who have to receive these people? How are they being taken care of? That's a question the political people have not answered, just like the question they have not answered, what have they done? I, in fact, asked the political person, I don't know if he's going to be too happy to want to hear from me too much. I asked him, was there any elected person before you that you can identify? This is a younger guy. That you can identify who sat in your seat that you can say was promoting Made in America? And the answer was, I don't remember hearing that. Now that's unfortunate because that guy's out of that seat maybe 9 years or so. You know, 9 years ago, that guy should have been promoting that.
Right.
That's the sad, you know. And Mark, if I went to your place up in New York, would I be able to get a gathering of elected congressmen, council people, you know, to come and say, let's get together, let's discuss a way of having a little convention here in our area to bring more business manufacturing? Because with one manufacturing job, you bring in many of those others that I talked about, research and development for new products and management and payroll services. Everything is related to the job. We've cut a lot of those jobs right out of our system. They're gone, poof, because the stuff comes from overseas right to the store, so you cut out everybody else. And that's where no one in our government is giving me encouragement. How can I encourage somebody else when they're not encouraging me? They're saying, Michael, it's just the way things are in America. We're in a free market economy, and everybody took advantage of the free market economy. And worse than anything is, we discussed this before, this is the worst thing that I'm seeing, and I'm really disturbed. There are countries who bought land in the United States. They are making things now in the United States, foreign countries, and on their label, Made in the United States. Have you seen that, Larkin?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Bruce would have a better grip on this, but I think I heard that they that China bought the equivalent of 500,000 acres of farmland mm-hmm. in Texas and closed the deal. It's a done deal.
A Chinese company here in our small town of Victoria that they announced they're building a factory here. on 2 acres, I guess.
And what are they going to manufacture?
But they will be employing about 500 Americans, and I suppose that's not a bad thing.
No, that's a good thing. But what are they going to be making, Bruce?
I have no idea, to be quite honest. They were on television the other day announcing it, and I have no idea what they're going to make. I'll find out.
Interesting. Well, but, we've had situations in my travels over the summer, and I'm not talking far away, where people have told me that the owners of this particular company have decided to sell. And rather than, you know, make it a public notice that they were going to be for sale, they went to a broker or something, and the next thing you know, someone bought it. It happened to be a foreign country, so we'll have 50 people working for a foreign country in a company name that is, you know, respected in that part of the state. And that's just how it's working. But my argument with all of this is, our national leaders and business leaders should be together more often talking about, what do we do if there's a business for sale? How do we make it available to a business that's in America that may want to grow, a business in America, that a new person that wants to go into that, invest in that type of business? We're not doing that. We're watching foreigners come to America. They go around looking for the land. They want to build. They want to have that label now because there's so much concern about made in America. And now, so what are we supposed to do with our labels? Officially made in America? I mean, I don't know what to do. If that Chinese company opens up and makes suits or shirts or whatever, they are made in America by American workers. It's just no longer owned by American. The land, the property, and the rights to the business. Larkin, if you were the guy in Washington, in the Department of Commerce, would you like to see a national business meeting that, like I was suggesting today, come about?
Well, Michael, first of all, if you made me the head of the Commerce Department, the very first thing I would do is shut down the department. We spend billions and billions of dollars a year, and they don't do squat.
And they don't call you back either. When I tell people, you call the Commerce Department to get those statistics.
You're hired, Larkin. What's next?
That's right. They don't call you back. I've tried them. I had a couple other people try. That person will get back to you as soon as possible. At 6-8 months ago, they do not want to answer any controversial questions. Isn't that unbelievable? Can you imagine going to a doctor and saying, "Doctor, tell me the truth. What's going on with me?" Well, they don't want to tell you the truth. That business was sold to a foreign country. You know, the other businesses are going down because we've overregulated them. Yet those products come from foreign countries where they're not regulated, and our people put them on and drive them and whatever, everything is fine. But they're saying the stuff made in America, because they're not, you know, they're regulated, they're going to be much better. I don't know how it could be better. Maybe I'm wrong, but maybe we'll see. Have to see this. We are weeks away from an election, guys. All I can ask you to do in the next few weeks is ask every person that you know to be sure to vote. Because, say, November the 5th, we should know, or the 6th, we have to turn the page and start moving forward to talk about common sense issues and start demanding the president, whoever he or she will be, and all the elected people in every office in the United States, to start looking out for America first, American workers first, and to start discussing, why do we have in the United States of America 44 million people living below the poverty guideline? How is that possible? How did America's leaders in Washington, mainly because that's where the statistics come from, just continue to walk in the Congress and the Senate and do nothing about it? It's been going on since we've been speaking on these airwaves for years. And yet they say, well, you know, they don't know what to say themselves. I think it's time for whoever will be the president that we force that person to start speaking up more about patriotism, more about jobs, more about education, and more about the future of our children, grandchildren, and their children. We're not doing that right now. Every ad that I see doesn't tell me anything. The flogging, you know, whipping somebody, this said that. Who cares? Tell me what you will do and what you will be held accountable for the day after the election. Larkin, I'm going to give you a minute. You tell me what you would like to see from the candidates that are running right now. If you had to ask the question, what do you want to hear about them helping American workers?
Well, you know, the first thing is that I would have a Department of Elections, or maybe each state should have a couple people that review comments and stuff that's said in all these meetings. But I'd just like to see both candidates, without using unexplained and PFA, pulled from air numbers.
Right.
I'd like to see them answer a question, and it's simple. How you gonna fix inflation? Well, anybody smart is gonna tell you I can't fix it.
Larkin, what I would like to do. You gave a very good response. I'm going to ask everybody to finish this up in the future. I'm going to ask all of you to be ready to continue this discussion as we get closer to the election. What I would like the president to do the day after election is go to a panel of people like us and answer questions live on air. What are you going to do about inflation? What are you going to do about poverty? What are you going to do about more jobs in the United States? Not hiding them this and that. We have so many jobs that are needed that indeed is begging for people. People are retiring, no one to replace them at all. That's very unfortunate. We have to get these things back and again and not be afraid to discuss them. Right now, people are afraid. And I think the president of the United States should help the people show that you should never be afraid to speak up for your country. And I hear the music, and Henry is ready to sign off. And I just would like to say, Larkin Conley, Bruce Bassett Powell, and Mark Andel and Henry Chaplinsky, thank you. Thank you, everyone listening. Remember, you can send me your thoughts and suggestions to michael@americanworkersradio.com. And I love hearing what you have to say. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best. Stay well, be happy. God bless.